This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. As the cool and colorful embrace of fall envelops the Northern Hemisphere, we've had the privilege of conversing with remarkable individuals throughout this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. And in today's episode, we're chatting with another amazing guest who is traveling across the country and enjoying the great outdoors. Her name is Kenzie, and you can follow her adventures on Instagram at Kenzie from Kansas. Kenzie shares with us some of the amazing places and adventures she's been able to see, including completing the Highlander in Kalispell, Montana. She also shares with us some of her other unique adventures, like spending a few months living on a glacier in Alaska, and summiting the second highest peak in Africa, Mount Kenya. Kenzie also recently completed the Erase the Trace Challenge, helping pick up over 1,000 pounds of trash from the outdoors. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, Kenzie. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm really excited to be talking to our guest today. She's a nomad that's been doing some amazing things across the country, and I'm really excited to speak to her about her most recent adventure that she did in Montana. Thank you, Kenzie, for joining us on the podcast today. You know, we always like to start off by asking our guests how long they've been hiking for and how they got started.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here. I started hiking in college, actually. So did not grow up in the outdoors world, really. My family did a lot more beach vacations and that sort of thing. So in college, my best friend, Laura, actually took a trip to Colorado and just went on a trip that I had really never seen anyone do before and really inspired me to get out and explore different places. And so we were both ex-college volleyball players. And I would just say kind of once I got into the outdoors, it kind of replaced that competitive, motivating, active thing that I had lost in my life. And so, I really got started in college, all thanks to my good friend, Laura, who, like I said, she went on a trip. I didn't even go, but I was like, I want to go there. And so I planned almost the exact same trip. And then from there, just kind of caught a bug and started to love the outdoors and the mountains and all of that fun stuff. So that's kind of how I got started.
You know, most recently, you've been able to be a nomad and travel across the country to see some of these beautiful places. How did that journey kind of come about?
Yeah, so I'm not the typical nomad, as in I don't live in a vehicle, but me and my husband and our two dogs, we were living in Tennessee when we got married, quickly moved to Alabama, and then shortly after that moved to Kansas. And we just both knew that we were drawn to the West and to the mountains, and we really wanted to do something different, but we had no idea where we wanted to go. And so we've really just used this year to kind of figure that out. So we picked 5 cities that we wanted to explore more and possibly move to. And so we booked Airbnbs for approximately 2 months at a time in these different cities, and we are exploring from there. So that's kind of our base camp. But then, you know, every week, every weekend, we're out kind of overlanding or hiking or camping and exploring wherever we are and kind of finding hidden gems and different places maybe that might be on the radar to move. That's what we're doing this year. So living in Airbnbs, but traveling from all of those different places to just explore as much of the West as we can.
Right on. And yeah, you've explored, I feel like the whole West Coast you've been able to visit, and you have a really great adventure rig to kind of get to those hard to reach locations. Can you share a little bit about what your adventure rig is?
Yeah. So we definitely have done a lot of the West. All of the places we picked were in the West. So we started in Boise. We went to the Spokane, Washington area. From there, we went to Bozeman, Montana, currently in Grand Junction, Colorado. And then our last stop will be Salt Lake City here in about a week or so. So our adventure rig is a 2018 Toyota Tacoma with a camper shell on the back with a rooftop tent made by Quick Pitch that we absolutely adore. It's changed the game for us in the camping world. And yeah, we've kind of just built it out to fit our needs. It's not, you know, doesn't have all of the things that a lot of overlanders do, but we've kind of made do, and we have all the pieces. We just don't have some of like the super expensive deck systems and things of that nature, you know, that are with the drawers and all of that fun stuff. So we have kind of just mosh-podged it together and made our own version of it. And we absolutely love it. And we've gotten to do some awesome things. We just got back from my husband. Definitely loves the overlanding part. He's not quite as much of a hiker as I am. So he's definitely more about where we can go in the car instead of where we can go on our feet. So for his birthday, we just got done doing the White Rim Trail in Canyonlands National Park. And that was a 3-day, 100-mile off-road trip that we did. So,
and Kenzie, I got to ask, how easy or how difficult is it to get into one of those pop-up tents that are on top of the vehicles?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty easy. Ours specifically takes... I mean, you can set it up in 30 seconds plus adding the ladder on. And so really all you do is you pop it up, put the ladder on, and then as long as you can climb a ladder about 5 or 6 steps, then you're good.
Oh, that beats a lot of the backpacker tents that are on the market right now. You know, we've been talking beforehand that we both kind of got into backpacking this year, and I'd love to hear what your journey's been like in backpacking and being able to explore the West by going to these remote locations.
You know, for the past, I guess, 6 years, I've done a lot of, like I said, or I guess it's like 8 or 9 years now, but done a lot of just day hiking, and really that has been my bread and butter. How much can I pack into a day? You know, where can I go? What can I do in a day? And so this year, I've always been drawn to backpacking, but I'll be real honest. I grew up in the Midwest. I don't know anybody that backpacks. I do most of my hiking and adventuring by myself. And so backpacking has always seemed really intimidating. I've gotten the things throughout the years in hopes to do it one day. And I would really say that I signed up for Highlander, which I know we'll talk about later. But I think that's really what propelled me to get out this year and get going. I was like, this is the year I signed up for this big backpacking trip that I'm going to do. And so I need to practice and I need to, you know, put in the work and figure out what it's like. And so I would say really that was the propeller into, you know, why I did it this year, but have always wanted to do it, but it just seemed really intimidating and doing it by yourself and all of that. So, but it's been one of my favorite things. I started backpacking when I was in Bozeman, Montana, and I'll tell you what, that's probably not the best place to start backpacking because it is grizzly bear territory, okay? Yeah. And I am absolutely terrified of the bears. And so that was an interesting adventure, a place to start, you know, not feeling confident and also having to deal with grizzly bears. But I'm here to tell the story. I did not, I've never seen a grizzly bear and I did not get eaten by a grizzly bear. So we are alive and well, and we're very thankful for that. But yeah, just, I mean, I can't say anything other than I just decided to do it. And yeah. Took my best friend who I was talking about earlier, Laura, on her first backpacking trip this summer. And she came to visit me in Montana and we had a blast. And, you know, it's just something that now I took my husband Ben on his first backpacking trip and just loving it, just really enjoying getting to somewhere. I think my favorite part about it is just the lack of people. You know, a lot of day hikes, there's a lot of people, or I know you can find ones that are secluded, but just being somewhere so remote and peaceful and, you know, just, it's just magical. That's the best word I can use for it.
Oh, that's been amazing that you've been able to share that experience with friends and your husband and get them into backpacking as well. And I think that's where we share the same motivator, propeller Kenzie, is I won a permit for the enchantments this year. First time in 15 years of submitting. Mm-hmm. That's what motivated me to get into backpacking, because I was like, okay, I got this permit. I gotta use it. And I was lucky enough to do a few trial runs beforehand, but that was definitely the biggest motivator to try out backpacking.
Yeah, it can be super intimidating, but I would just really encourage anyone just get out there and do it, you know, and do something. I think my first backpacking trip this year was 5 miles to where I was going, because I wanted to be able to come back if, you know, I forgot something or if something went wrong or whatever. I think people think of backpacking as they have to be these huge multi-day adventures. They have to be hundreds of miles long. And it's like, that's not the truth. That's actually the furthest thing from the truth. There's so many good backpacking places that can be as short as a couple miles. You know, and yeah. So if it's your first time, go somewhere where you know you can get in and out. If, you know, by dark, if you end up in that situation and you forgot something that you needed, and, you know, just learn, trial and error. That's really the only way we can learn. And I think a lot of us are just really scared to be beginners at things, especially in our adulthood. And we don't like being bad at things, and we don't like asking for help. And it's just like, how else are you going to learn anything in life if you don't just try and fail? And
so, you know, true. So, that's solid advice. And especially if you go with somebody that's done it before, that's always a big help. And if you do forget something, you know, they can always sometimes cover fuel or if a stove or whatever. You know, we're at the tail end of summer, officially in fall. How was your summer hiking season? And are there any memorable hikes or destinations that kind of stick out?
Yeah. So this was definitely, you know, like I said, we've been nomading, and before I've lived in, you know, places where there's not a ton of hiking, I would say. And so this summer has been full of adventures and full of amazing hikes. And before the Highlander event, I had set a goal to hike 200 miles. And so I got out and I hiked a lot this summer. And this is probably my most active outdoors summer that I've ever had. And man, my cup is just so full coming out of it. But I'm also so tired. And I'm like, I just can't wait to hang out a little bit. But my favorite places that stick out that we did this summer was me and my husband hiked Maple Pass Loop in North Cascades. I know that's typically a fall hike, and I know it's super crowded right now, but it is an amazing hike regardless of the season. And it was really special to me because, like I said earlier, my husband's not a huge hiker, and he actually, like, I saw him start to love it on that hike. And, you know, he was excited when we, you know, at some of the views, and he was actually really enjoying it. And so to see him kind of, I guess, catch that fire was exciting. So that one definitely sticks out. And then also just the greater Bozeman area, the Bridger Mountains in Paradise Valley. I did quite a bit of hiking around there. And man, Bozeman, Montana, you are a dream. And I wish I could move there. That's at the very top of the list of places we've been. But there's just mountains in every direction. And it's just some of the most beautiful country I've ever been in. So those are definitely the ones that stick out the most.
And, you know, I have to ask, just because you mentioned that you made it to Washington, how was your experience hiking in and around Spokane? Because, you know, I feel like Washington, the big three are Mount Rainier, Olympics, and North Cascades, but that Spokane, especially that northeast tip of Washington State, has some really great hiking.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to meet a friend that I would now consider one of my best friends. You probably know her on Instagram, Moving Mountains Meg. I met her when I first moved to Spokane, and we got to hike a good bit together there. And really just the panhandle of Idaho, it's like, an you know, 45 minutes to an hour, that Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and I think it's Idaho Panhandle National Forest, was just gorgeous. And so it's, I know it's not Washington, but it is right there. And it was a nice little hidden gem, because when we pulled up, I was like, where are the mountains? I thought this was a little bit more mountainous, because, you know, Eastern Washington's a little bit more rural farmland, flat, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, but you just drive 30-45 minutes, they kind of look like hills, but they're mountains, and they're beautiful, and you have so many awesome lakes, and Idaho is just amazing. That's a hidden gem that I'm sure I'll get yelled at for saying this, but if you love the outdoors and you've not been to Idaho, you have no idea what the outdoors is like.
And I like that little panhandle too, up to Sandpoint, and just that lake and the ski resorts up there are phenomenal as well. You know, we're in the middle of fall, Kenzie, and You're in a place right now that is known for their fall colors. How has the fall hiking season been for you?
I was at Highlander, and that was a 60-mile backpacking trip that I did 3 weeks ago. So I'm not going to lie, I haven't been doing a lot of fall hiking, but I have been doing a lot of fall camping and a lot of fall driving. So I've gotten the opportunity to go to Crested Butte, Colorado, which was just peak week, gorgeous, camped out there. It was amazing. The fall colors and the aspens and driving Kebler Pass, if you've never done that in the fall, is just a bucket list item for sure. And then this past weekend, I took the Million Dollar Highway down between, I think it's Ouray and Silverton. And then nice. I looped back up through Telluride. And I mean, my eyes were just in shock. I could not believe some of the things that I saw. And it was, like I said, it's not been a lot of hiking. I'll be real honest. After my big trip, I was kind of like, I'm just ready to relax a little bit and camp and enjoy a fire and a cup of coffee at sunrise and not have to do a lot of work for it. But so the colors have been, I mean, unlike anything I've ever seen. I've never done fall in Colorado, and it is definitely something to remember forever for sure.
Now, Kenzie, with fall winter, but that also means the ski season is about to start. And you're a skier. What are your plans for the winter season, both skiing and hiking?
Winter's kind of an interesting time for me and my husband. And so we're starting in about a week. We head to Salt Lake City. And so by the time this airs, we'll be in Salt Lake City. So we'll be there for about a month before the ski resorts open. And then we'll be there for about a month skiing around the Salt Lake City area. I know there's a ton of awesome resorts in that area. So we're excited to check them out and to see which ones, deserve their claim to fame. And so I ski, my husband snowboards. And so we're really excited to get to experience a new place. We try every year to go somewhere new. And so this will just continue that tradition. And then after that, after Christmas, we kind of turn into a hunting family. So we will actually go to Alabama for the month of January to deer hunt. So
nice.
No real hiking plans. I have, wanted to go out and snowshoe. Have never done it before. Don't know anything about it, but I know that that is something that you can do and kind of get out and hike in the wintertime. So looking forward to trying that somewhere in the Salt Lake City area. But other than that, we just plan to ski and then do a little bit of hunting. So,
yeah, I think this Friday from when we're recording, elk season starts in my neck of the woods. So there's a little bit of a buzz in my region now that the season's about to start.
Yeah, people are probably getting out and scouting and doing all sorts of fun stuff.
You know, one of my favorite segments of the podcast is doing a deep dive into our guests' Instagram and then picking out a picture or two that catches my attention and then asking the guests about their experience. And I couldn't pick between these two because they're both epic and the pictures that you've shared just are amazing. But the first one was summiting Mount Kenya. And then the second one was living in Alaska for a little bit. Can you share a little bit about both experiences?
Yeah. So the Alaska experience, I'll start there just because that happened first. So like I said, I kind of learned about the outdoors and hiking and kind of, I guess, pursued a new passion or started to feel something inside of me that I wanted to pursue. And so when I graduated college, I was kind of at a crossroads. I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I had a couple degrees and was really like, I'm not sure if what I just spent the last 4 years of my life doing is what I want to do forever. So we'll call my trip to Alaska a soul-searching journey, but I will never forget. I started looking at jobs online for jobs that were in unique places. And I found a website called coolworks.com. And I applied to a couple different jobs and ended up getting a job living on a glacier with 230 sled dogs in Alaska, which don't ask me why I decided to do that. I hated the cold. I am someone who, I don't proudly say this, but I was a 22-year-old, young adult. I'm attached to my cell phone. I have never needed or struggled for anything in my life, and I choose to go to one of the most remote places, that I can. But that was part of why I picked it. So I say all of that, but that is why I picked it, because I wanted to learn about myself, because I just had kind of felt like, I've made a lot of decisions in my life for, my parents and for you know, just what I thought success looked like. And so I really was just like, I need to figure out who I am, what I like, what I don't like. And so took this job, this crazy job. And like I said, ended up living on a glacier in a tent for about 5 months with 230 or something like that sled dogs. And so I was just a tour attendant for the company and a photographer for the company. And we got to come down off the glacier one day a week and explore town and what Skagway, Alaska had to offer, but absolutely life-changing summer in so many different ways, but really just helped me understand what was important. It broke some bad habits that I had. It made me really appreciate a lot of things that I didn't before. And I decided to road trip there. So I took a month and visited a whole bunch of cool places on the way there. And, you know, on the way back did the same thing, but took a different route. And so that was really just a life-altering season for me. Post-college, I wish I would have found out about this website during college because I would have spent every summer doing something different. So if you're listening to this and you're in college, definitely do that and go visit some really cool places, get paid some good money to go work some cool seasonal jobs. So
yeah, truly that is the original remote work that you were doing. Like you were up in a glacier. I'm guessing no cell service up there at that time?
No, they had like a cell booster. And so like 1 hour a day, you might get texts on your cell phone, but you were not sending anything out and you were definitely not on the internet.
Oh, and you know, one part of your Alaska trip that also caught my attention is you got to do a helicopter ride through some mountain ranges. How was that?
Yeah. So the company that I worked for was, like I said, we were on a glacier. And so we partnered with a helicopter company and that was how our tours happened. So you had to do a helicopter tour in order to get to the glacier to do dog sled tour. And so that was part of my, you know, everyday life working in and around helicopters. But the trip that I think you're specifically talking about, we did have days off that we got to go down, fly down into Alaska or into Skagway, the town, on a helicopter. And I got to do a tour to a different glacier and do a glacial tour as well. So we did get the opportunity to go on some tours, some different tours when we were there. So I got to go like zip lining. And if you worked in the town, you got to do stuff for free because, you know, you were a tour guide. So anyways,
that's a good benefit.
Yeah. It was a really interesting summer. So, it was awesome.
Now the other great place that caught my attention was summiting Mount Kenya.
That was a just total God thing. That came about through a church that I was attending in Durham, North Carolina. And it was a mission trip that I actually got the opportunity to be a part of. But part of the mission was raising money for them to build a church over there. And what we did in order to raise the money was, it was like a hikeathon. And we were summiting Mount Kenya as the hikeathon. So we had to raise a certain amount of money in order to go. And then they gave the money that we raised to build the church there. And so that was a absolutely amazing trip. I got to train with the 18 people that we went with for about 6 months in North Carolina. So we were all part of the same church. And so we got to train together. We got to kind of just live life together and watch each other grow. I mean, there were people that had never hiked before, people that were 60 years old going on this trip. And if you don't know anything about Kenya, I think it's the second or third tallest mountain in Africa. It sits at right under 17,000 feet, I believe. And this was a approximately 45-mile trip over the course of, I believe we did it in 4 days. And so for all of you asking, I thought you never backpacked until this year. I don't consider that full-on backpacking because we did not have to pitch a tent. You stay in shacks on the mountain. Mm. And we also had Sherpas who cooked every meal for us. So we didn't have to carry the stove or things of that nature. So
okay.
It's a little bit different. It still is backpacking, but it's backpacking without a tent. And so a little bit different, things that you bring and that sort of thing. But for me, that was a monumental place for me to be and to summit. We summited at sunrise on New Year's morning. It was just an amazing opportunity to get to start the year conquering something so special and kind of just doing a totally different New Year's Eve. And I got to, like I said, train with those people. I got to live life with those people. We got to conquer this amazing thing together. And through that journey, those people became my family. And it was just such an awesome experience to share with such a big, unique, diverse group of people and some of the most amazing country I've ever seen. my Sherpa, or the leader of our group, he was absolutely amazing. He was funny. He was super sweet. The community over in that part of Africa is just amazing. Their hospitality is through the roof. And I know a lot of people do Kilimanjaro, and that's on their list. But yeah, it was a super special experience, and I thank God for that one. So,
yeah, what a beautiful way to start the new year on top of a mountain, watching an epic sunrise come through.
Yeah, it was also the new year's going into 2022. So it was a special moment in that, you know, that year took a turn. And so it was a good thing to do before the pandemic hit and life kind of changed. Yeah.
So that leads us to this epic adventure that you just completed in September, and we've talked about it a little bit, but that's the Highlander Cowspell, which was an amazing 5-day journey with friends in the outdoors. Can you share a little bit with us about what the Highlander is and how was your experience?
Yeah, I would love to. So Highlander is a event. So I don't know how else to describe it to people other than think of a marathon type setting, but for backpacking. And so there are checkpoints. There are places where you camp every night as a group. It is, you know, there's a starting and a finish line. You get cheered in every night to camp. It is a big event that started in Croatia, I believe. And so this is just the second year that they've had it in America. And they have one at Big Bear Lake in California. That was where their first one in the U.S. was last year. And then they had Big Bear again this year. And then they introduced Highlander Kalispell. So there's a couple different formats that you can choose from. There's a 1-day version, a 3-day version, or a 5-day version. And I think they're looking to add and change some of that as well. But that's what sits right now. And so you can choose your journey, whether you want to just hike and not backpack, or if you want to do 30 miles in 3 days, or if you want to do 60 miles in 5 days. And so I had signed up to do it. And then I've actually found out that a couple friends that I met this year were also doing it. So originally I was going to go solo, and I was going to do it by myself and just meet people there, because there's, I think, approximately 100 people that did Highlander Kalispell this year, the 60-mile version. And so I saw it as an opportunity to meet people in the outdoors. Like I said, I'm from Kansas. I don't know a lot of people that backpack and hike and who love some of the same things that I do. And so I'm always searching for ways to find that outdoors community. I was super surprised just at the camaraderie and the experience levels and the, you know, just overall diversity of people that were there. So I didn't really have a lot of expectations. I didn't know quite what to expect, but there were people that have never hiked a day before in their life. There are people that have conquered the Triple Crown, which, you know, is the PCT, the CT, and the Appalachian Trail. And so this is for beginners. This is for seasoned through hikers. This is for anyone who loves the outdoors, who wants to know more about backpacking, or who just wants to be in community with people who backpack. There's events every night. So they had us watch a documentary one night. They had speakers every night. They had just all different activities for us. They had a bear expert come and talk to us because we were hiking in grizzly bear country. And so that was amazing because we all got to learn. We all got to feel knowledgeable and safe about grizzlies and just bear territory. And so they do a lot to make us feel safe. They do a lot to educate us, to give us things to do at camp at night. It really just, like I said, was amazing. The community was definitely by far my favorite part. I got to meet so many new people and just hear their stories, hear how the outdoors has changed their life, hear about what's going on in their personal life. And I think, you know, going to something like this, and by the way, I said it was kind of like a marathon. It's not a race, though. Okay, I need to make that very clear. No one's racing. But it's not really about what you bring to the table or your experience. What I really realized it was about is what, like, you have to offer to other people, and being there to listen and being there to support and to cheer on one another. Like I said, there was a girl who had never hiked a day before in her life, and she signed up for the 60-mile, 5-day backpacking event. Okay. Mm-hmm. What a rock star. She finished. She did amazing. But some guy, I guess she had blisters on her feet, and some guy, because she didn't break in her boots or something happened, he switched shoes with her for the whole event. Like, when I say, like, I saw people, like, carry that people's backpacks, cheer them along, switch shoes with people. I mean, this is an event that is all about community, and that's all about getting people into the outdoors and teaching them best practices, teaching them good stewardship, teaching them how to be safe. They have, if you have never been backpacking before, you can rent all of the gear from Highlander. They make it so easy. I think it just takes, for me, if I was a brand new backpacker, it takes every excuse as to why you could never do it out of the picture. They plan the route. They tell you where to camp. They give you a map. They give you food. They give you fuel. They give you every single thing that you could possibly need that takes all of the fear and, or, you know, that you could possibly be fearful of. And so it was just, I mean, like I said, it's really hard to put the experience into words because there was so much that happened over those 5 days. But I'll just say this, I will go for the rest of my life as long as I am able. And I want to go as many times as I can to as many of them as I can. And I just absolutely loved it. It was the adventure of a lifetime, which is their slogan, and it is true.
Yeah, and you did an amazing job sharing with us on Instagram each of the days, and you got a glimpse of the community that you were a part of through your reels, but to hear, you know, what people were doing behind the scenes, it's just, it sounds like an incredible community to be involved with and an incredible experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think the outdoors has changed my life. I've heard many people's stories on this trip where it's changed their life. And there's, you know, there was a guy there who he was, you know, really overweight, I think insulin dependent. And he went to Highlander last year. He barely made it to camp every night. You know, it took him all day to do it, but he did it. And he's been, now it's changed his life. He's been working out all the time. He's been hiking all the time. He's gotten off insulin. I mean, when I say things like this change people's lives, I really mean it. And it was because he came and he felt supported and people cheered him on. And even though it was 9 o'clock and he was rolling into camp, people were still screaming, shouting, celebrating him for completing. And I wasn't there to experience that, but that was a story that I heard. And I got to meet him at this year and talk to him a little bit. And so it's just amazing. And, you know, I think the outdoors community can be hard to get into and hard, like I said earlier, you know, you don't want to feel like a beginner. You don't want to show up to somewhere not knowing what to do, but this is the place to do it if you have ever been interested in doing it, because you will be welcomed with open arms.
You know, I'm interested in hearing, Kenzie, because with all the backpacking trips I've done and being able to reach out to people that are experienced backpackers, my pack list is constantly evolving. How did you kind of approach your pack list for this trip, and how has it changed since?
This one was a little bit unique because this is the first backpacking trip I've done without my dog. So I do have two dogs that go on most all hiking and backpacking trips with me. So my pack actually felt a bit lighter without all of their stuff. You know, like I said earlier, I think a lot of things are trial and error. I think a lot of people get caught up on gear. Don't get me wrong. You need to have things that are good for certain types of weather, but it's not as difficult as people make it seem. And you're going to buy something, and you're probably going to buy something different in the future. It's just going to happen. And so I would say that, yes, it's always evolving, but I have found a lot of good in going to like used gear stores. That's actually something that I started doing this year, just as I needed some very specific things for some specific trips that I went on. And so I've actually come to realize that you can go to REI and you can ask everyone and they're all going to have a different opinion. You have to find out what works best for you, for, you know, your what kind of weight you can carry. You don't need ultralight everything. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure that it's really nice. And I met, you know, the owner of Z-Packs when I was on Highlander and got to meet the Z-Packs team. And I'm definitely sold on a few lightweight things, but it's not where you start usually. And so just know that you're going to buy things and you're, you know, they may evolve, and that's okay. And you don't have to buy everything brand new. Like I said, everyone's going to have a different opinion. And so I think it's always evolving. But as long as you have the things that you need, it kind of really doesn't matter in some capacity. I did find earlier this year, I talked about Highlander, you can rent stuff. I did find a backpacking brand earlier this year that I wish I would have known about when I started, because they sell entire backpacking kits. Or everything you would need. So there's a, I think it's a 5-piece, a 15-piece, and a 30-piece, but everything from a water filter to a stove to a first aid kit to your tent to your sleeping bag, all of that. And so that's called Near Zero. And so I think it can get really overwhelming when you want to get into it, because it's like, I need, you know, 50 different things.
Yeah. But
I think things like that would definitely make it easier for someone who's like, I really want to get into it, but I don't know where to get started. That's mm-hmm. what I would have bought if I would have known about it, you know, a couple years ago. So,
great tip.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the market for a new backpack, though. I have learned that my backpack does not fit me correctly. So that will be the first thing that I change for 2024.
And Kenzie, you know, one thing I'm always curious to ask backpackers is if they carry a luxury item, and if they do, what is it?
Yeah. So on a lot of backpacking trips that I've gone on, I bring my hammock. And I am also not an avid thru hiker who has gotten everything down to a science. And I also don't like stinky feet. And so I bring probably too many clothes. But, you know, I was pretty happy with my clothes on Highlander because the weather was all over the place. And so I felt really prepared for different things. So
we're right there together, Kenzie, because that's one thing I tend to overpack on clothes. And I'm now sold on packing a hammock because one of our friends on the Enchantments brought their hammock and set it up. And it was a game changer to just be able to relax, take a load off, and enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah, it's usually a hammock or a chair, one of those two, but I need a place to sit.
For sure. Now, for folks that are interested in participating next year, what tips or advice would you give them if they're looking at signing up?
If you go to Highlander USA's Instagram, or if you just HighlanderAdventure.com, you can see the different versions of the trips, and you can also just learn about the routes, where they are, that sort of thing. I know for sure they're doing Big Bear and Kalispell again. And so you can go on and look at that, and you can also use code Kinsey20 for 20% off your registration, which will save you a bit of money. But I would definitely recommend signing up as soon as you know that you want to do it, because they do raise prices every couple months. And so I know right now is the cheapest that it'll ever be.
Oh, good to know. Yeah. And we'll be sure to put your promo code in the episode show notes so people can take advantage of that discount.
Yeah. I hope see you there, and I hope to get to hike with all of you guys.
Yeah, you've definitely sold me now that it's all planned out, because I think some of it that's overwhelming is just planning out a trip, especially a multi-day trip.
Yeah.
And the fact that they do everything for you besides just carrying your pack and getting to the destination is amazing.
Yeah. And what they showed us at one of the talks at night was by a guy named Mateo who works at Z-Packs. And he also showed me something cool on their website where they have different hikes and they have kind of the routes and where to camp and for all different things. So whether that's backpacking without a tent, which is kind of like that Mount Kenya experience that I talked mm-hmm. about, or if you're looking for a backpacking trip over 100 miles or over 100 miles. So they have some different things too on their website that I know that a lot of the guys have put together to help you get out on those adventures quicker.
I'll have to check that out. Now, Kenzie, one amazing thing that did come from the Highlander that you're in the middle of participating in the Race the Trace Challenge. Can you share a little bit about the challenge itself and how much you've been able to collect so far in October?
One of the things that is also, you know, just adds on to the Highlander experiences, they are big proponents of responsible stewardship. And so they have partnered with a company called Responsible Stewardship that comes and cleans up the areas that we're going to be hiking before we go. And so they came and they cleaned up trash and things that might have been in our way at some of the places that we camped or hiked. And what they also encourage us on the Highlander trip was they gave us a bag and they encouraged us to pick up any trash that we saw. And so at the Highlander Kalispell event, as a group, we picked up over 1,200 pounds of trash the 60 miles that we did. And so not only are we getting people in the outdoors together, but we are also making a difference in the communities that we're coming into, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think, 100 people, like that's going to be a disaster. That's going to make a big impact. And it's like, yeah, we're going to make an impact in a positive way.
Yeah.
And so Responsible Stewardship, you can find them on Instagram or Facebook or wherever you look, but they have an event every, or a challenge every October, I believe, that's called the Erase the Trace challenge. And so what that is you just go to an area in your local community and you pick up trash, you take a before and after picture and you post on Instagram how much trash you picked up in pounds, and then you post it and it's a challenge, and whoever picks up the most trash, I think there's like 50 prizes. So I think honestly, if you are a part of it, you might end up winning something. You have some pretty good odds, but the grand prize this year, I believe, is a Z-Pax tent. And so that is something that I am in the looking at. And so I'm like, ooh, if I could win it. So I have been going out every single day this month so far. It's October 10th as we're recording this. And I actually had my record day today where I picked up 121 pounds of trash today.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And it was a lot, which is crazy because you go some places and you find like a cup or a can or, you know, like it doesn't look that trashy, but man, there's trash everywhere. And the thing that this has taught me is that micro trash is just as important, like whether that's a cigarette butt or a little piece of plastic or whatever the small things, because that actually is really harmful for animals and they could eat it and it can hurt them and kill off some of our wildlife. And so some of that is even more important than the big trash. But I believe this month so far, I think I was at around 200 pounds before today. And so approximately 325 so far this month. My goal is 1,000 for the month. And so I know responsible stewardship's goal is 10,000, but I think they're definitely going to beat that, because I've seen some guys that have been picking up like 400 pound days. And so
holy cow.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm all about leave it better than you found it. Don't be trashy. Yeah. And you know, something that a lot of people don't think about as responsible stewardship, but I learned a lot about through Highlander and just talking to other people, is tag lightly. Think about the infrastructure that supports where you're telling people to go on Instagram. It's not that I don't want you to share it. It's just like, think about if 1,000 people go there, can it support that? So,
and I think that's where we're seeing a big shift on Instagram, is tagging responsibly in some of those places that don't have the capacity to see those crowds that we're seeing in different parts of the country.
Yeah, I think the responsible stewardship guy said it best. He said, would you leave your door unlocked, post your address on Instagram, and just leave? And I'm like, no, I would not do that, you know? And it's not that, you know, anyone's trying to gatekeep the outdoors. That's not our role. But it's also like, this place cannot support 1,000 people coming a day.
Yeah, I saw it in the enchantments, and I want people to enjoy them. But there's so many day hikers doing it as a day hike that it was never meant to, you know, see tens of thousands of people each summer go across that.
Yeah, there's a reason they had to make it a permit system.
Yeah. Now, switching gears, Kenzie, some hikers, especially day hikers, they have sometimes a regular custom that they do, whether it's a summit routine or an end of the hike routine. For a lot of them, it's a packing a favorite snack, maybe having a summit beer, or even just a moment of zen. Is there a regular custom that you do when you reach your destination or when you make it back out?
Yeah. So I haven't done it in a long time, actually, but my old thing used to be, I used to have a pack of gushers at the top of every summit. I think now, you know, I'll bring a summit beer occasionally. Really, the outdoors has just been more recently just a place where I would say kind of like my problems feel very small, and it kind of just puts my life in check a little bit. And so I really like to, at the summit or wherever I am, I'm a Christian, and so I like to thank God, and I like to just kind of take in his creation and just really be in the moment and be thankful for the body that's capable to be doing these things and just the opportunity to be there, because I know not everybody gets that opportunity. So that's definitely one thing that I've transitioned to. And then I'm always down for a burger and a beer afterwards, man. Like, nothing hits the spot better than a burger and a beer. And actually, one night at Highlander, there was a restaurant on trail. We camped at a campground, and so we had to walk, I think, like 0.2 miles on a road, and there was a restaurant. And so a group of us went and got burgers and beer. And that was one of the most glorious things after a 16-mile day. So
yeah. No, food hits differently, especially burgers and different types of sandwiches after a long day of hiking.
Yeah, I'm a big brewery gal, so love a good burger and beer at a good brewery.
Yeah, right there with you. Now, you know, this episode is going to come out near the end of 2023. Any hiking or travel goals for the new year? for 2024?
Yeah. So have plans to do Highlander. I'm going to try to do both. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but would like to do Big Bear and would like to do Kalispell. So those are definitely on my to-do list. You know, 2024 is going to be, it's hard to make plans for because me and my husband don't know where we're going to be. So that's a big problem. But I have had a goal for a very long time to hike the JMT for my 30th birthday, which is next summer. So with God willing, if I get the permit, that is something that is on the list, but that is all going to depend on whether or not I get the permit or not. So that's a very competitive thing, like the enchantments. And so it's going to be not up to me whether I get to do it or not, but that's something that's been on my list for a while to do. So.
Right on. We'll definitely keep our fingers crossed for you. And I'm hoping you get it because everybody that's done the JMT that I've talked to, it's one of those life-changing experiences as well.
Yeah, I would really love to, but it's not up to me. So I might have to find something different. I watched a documentary at Highline called at Highlander called Highline, and it's the Highline Trail in the Uintas in Utah. And so ever since I've watched that, I'm like, this might be a backup plan if the JMT doesn't work out. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see where I am. That plays a big role into it. And so me and my husband have to sit down sometime in the next couple months and make a decision where we're going to move or what we're going to do next. So that's going to depend on, you know, where we hike and where we get to adventure to.
Now, Kenzie, that was it for the regular questions. This last portion of the podcast is the this or that questions. I'm going to give you two hiking related topics and you just choose which one you personally enjoy over the other. All right. So the first one is, do you prefer ascending or descending?
I like the up part, the ascending part.
Ascending?
Okay. Even though it is more work, I do like that part most of the time better. Because I think I'm on a mission to like get downhill and I'm kind of not, I feel like I just kind of like go fast on the way down. So I'm enjoying it on the way up and I'm, you know, okay, we got to get back, you know.
And this is another tough one, but waterfalls or summits?
Summits for sure.
And then when it comes to your trail system, do you prefer switchbacks or straight up?
Am I backpacking or day hiking?
Ooh, let's do both. So one for day hiking, one for backpacking.
If I'm day hiking, I can do the straight up. If I'm backpacking, give me all the switchbacks.
Now, are you rocking trek poles or do you go freehand?
Hard pass on the trek poles. I don't understand. I started using them this year because I hurt my knee in February. And I was like, as I was getting back into hiking, I was like, I should probably start using these to like help, you know, just so I don't re-hurt my knee. And I did not enjoy them. And I feel like I was just like holding them like up in the air most of the time. I was like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Now, when it comes to your footwear, are you rocking trail runners or do you wear hiking boots?
I wear hiking boots, but I got to give trail runners a chance because that was what most people at Highlander recommended that are like avid thru hikers. And so now I have to give them a go.
Yeah, I feel like there's been a big shift in the last 5 years from boots to trail runners.
Yeah, I'm not sold on my boots. And honestly, this year I've worn them in years past and they were fine. This year they gave me blisters every time I wore them and I've had them, you know, it's not like I didn't break them in. And so I'm like, for sure, I might need to do something different.
Yeah. Now, this is another trail system question, but do you prefer a loop trail or an outback trail?
Ooh, this is hard. I probably like the loop, but I do really love an out and back because you get to see things from a different perspective. And some things that you were like, oh, there's nothing to see here on the way up, there's something really good to see on the way down. And so I'd probably say a loop, but both can be great.
Now, when it comes to a body of water, especially on a hot summer day, do you jump in or do you stay dry?
I'm jumping in as long as the water's not like 40 degrees or below.
And this next one's super hard, but sunsets or sunrises for hikes?
Sunrises for sure. I just feel like sunrises are just so much more intentional. It's like you are going on a sunrise hike, whereas I feel like we see sunsets every day and we kind of take them for granted in a way. So I'm not a morning person. And so when I wake up and see the sunrise, it is something worth noting.
Now, this one's another tough one, but spring wildflowers or fall colors?
I probably would have said fall colors up until this year, but I got to hike in a couple places where the season was a super bloom. And so I'm going wildflowers.
And now this last one is the most controversial, and we've already kind of touched base on it, but to tag a hike or not tag a hike on social media?
Yeah, I would just say it depends. If it's a national park or something that can support it, I'll tag it all day long. If it's, you know, in a national forest or somewhere where it's not as heavily managed or supported, probably not. I might, you know, tell you the national forest, but I'm probably not telling you exactly where it is.
Yeah. And that's what I feel people are going towards, is just a general area or tagging the national forest or wilderness.
Yeah. I feel like I, you know, we'll put the mountain range or we'll put the national forest or the national park. I feel like, you know, it's not that hard to find out a lot of things if you are willing to do a little bit of research, but
yeah,
it just depends. Are you wanting to do the research or are you just wanting the Instagram picture?
Well, that was it for the this or that questions, Kenzie. For folks that want to follow along on your upcoming winter and 2024 journey, what are some of the best places online that they could follow you at?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I am Kenzie from Kansas. Pretty easy. Me and my husband do kind of have a page. It's called Let's Nomad Y'all, but he travels a good bit. I do a lot of stuff on my own, so I feel like that page has been lacking a little bit lately, but So we have those two, and then I also run a blog called Messages from the Mountain, and you can find that on Instagram or messagesfromthemountain.com.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to link those in the episode show notes so people can follow you along. Kenzie, it's been awesome talking to you and hearing about your experiences. I'm looking forward to what the rest of 2023 has for you and 2024, but appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I really enjoyed getting to share some of my adventures, and I've dove into multiple people's DMs on Instagram. Hey, I know you're in a certain area. If you want to hike together, let's do that. So if anyone here is listening and thinks that's weird, I don't care. Do it to me if you want. Let's go hiking together. Let's adventure together. And I hope I see a lot of you guys at Highlander next year. So excited to get to meet whoever wants to go out and outdoors, be in the outdoors together. So,
and use our promo code to get the discount.
Yeah, it'll save you some money. I know there's a few people that are like, why would you pay to go hiking? And it's just, trust me, it's worth every dollar. And there's just, you can't put a price tag on the experience that is Highlander. So,
well, thank you so much, Kenzie. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside Kenzie. We extend a heartfelt thanks to her for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow her upcoming adventures on Instagram at Kenzie from Kansas. Be sure to check out all the episode show notes to learn more about the Highlander, her blog, and more. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the fall, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketsa. Follow him on Instagram at Ketsa Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.